And Terry, you're going to start right now with the Blues. List analysis style, Terry Wallace.
Yeah, Carlton Football Club, very unusual. Sixth, they finished up with 11 wins. So that's where it was a really strange year. A month out from September, we had people at the Carlton Football Club themselves sort of talking about a total rebuild, and we'll see how much different the list will look at the end of the year. And then all of a sudden there were some great late victories, win against Richmond late in the season, obviously the Port Adelaide victory in the last round. And then they get a chance to play in a final. They win a final and they finish sixth on the ladder. I suppose the question then comes, Damo, did they get it right late, or have the Blues actually covered over a few cracks that were there a month out? And really, that's what we'll find out in 2014.
Do you know the answer?
Look, yeah, I think that they, more got it right late. And I'll go through the reasons why I sort of see that the case, but there are still some cracks there, as we'll see when we go along. Now, when I have a look at their midfield, first up, I found it quite amazing that there was no Blue midfielder in the top three in the John Nicholls medal, in the club best and fairest. You go through nearly every club in the competition.
And the Brownlow.
They've got somewhere, you know, that their midfielders are doing that. And then when you actually go further into it, their first midfielder was Ed Curno, who's a rookie and a tagger. So no running player. They had one running player in the top seven of their best and fairest, and that was Bryce Gibbs. That's an indictment in itself about where their midfield was this year. So they've got to get more from their star players.
Yep.
Murphy, Bryce Gibbs.
There's excuses for Murphy, though, surely, too, with the injuries he had and the lack of preseason.
Look, I've been an absolute supporter of Mark Murphy. He's still got some things to deal with in relation to the tag. But certainly you would think he would be better for the opportunity coming up in 2014. But Murphy, Gibbs, Judd, Carrazzo, those four boys in particular, and Carrazzo had his issues as well, but they need to get more out of them if they are to go further. The other thing that they've got to do is they've got to bat deeper in the midfield. When you got to the last final, I mean, they just got shown up by the Sydney Swans, where the Swans were. Obviously, they've gone out and got Dale Thomas. They moved Simpson back to halfback flank. It was a best and fairest winning move by Mick Malthouse, but I just wonder whether they could afford to have Simpson and Walker back there. I'd love to see Andrew Walker played through the middle of the ground. He's got a big motor. He's right in the right age bracket, and they need depth through the middle of the ground, so it'll be interesting to see whether they can get him up a bit higher, you know, to play through the guts. Obviously, Nick Graham is their young midfielder that they've got coming on, who you would expect to get more ground time next year. So they're doing something about the middle of the ground, but to me, an improved performance from those boys, their key players, and a bit more depth is what's required for them. I go to their rucks at that stage, Cruiser and Warnock. Well, they're the two blokes that will take them forward. They're in the right age bracket. Can they play a balanced role together? I think they can. I think that, you know, they can get away with Warnock being more the ruckman, Cruiser being more the forward ruck, but he's got to be a mobile ruckman as well. So I think that that will balance off okay for them. I think somewhere along the line they will grab a development ruckman, even if it's as a rookie, just the next generation, because really at the moment I think that's required for them for the future. Go to the back line and their key tools. I think Henderson has to play back myself. Matthew Watson's the interesting one. 21 years of age, still going into next year. Can he hold up as a defender? At times, just that pace off the mark catches him out a little bit. I think that they are much better suited when they've got Jamison and Henderson in the two key post roles.
Do you leave Henderson there?
I do. I do. I mean, I think that they can balance off the forward end better and use him as a swingman at times. But I think that they... The two key position backmen are the real important thing for them, and I think Henderson plays that centre-half-back role so well. I don't think they've got a third tall player. Andrew McGuinness is the one that they've tried in that role. He's only 22 at the start of next year, so, I mean, he's still got some development, but I think personally that's why they're going out and having a look at Andreas Everett.
Yep.
I think that he really does suit at 194. I mean, McGuinness is only 191. A couple of times he's been caught out when they've had to play him on the taller guys. So I think that's why Mickey Malthouse has really identified Andreas Everett as being able to play that third key tool. He kicks the ball well coming out of the defensive end, so I think that's a role they've got him identified. once again, with the situation with Cade Simpson going back, I think either Walker or Tui has to go up in the middle of the ground. I just don't think they can have all those quality players coming out of the back end with their midfield being a little bit light on. They've got to make a decision and really lock away Chris Yaron. Is he a running defender? Or is he a small half forward?
You can't keep throwing him around.
I don't think you can. I mean, I don't think it's doing his footy any good. And he's 23 next year. I mean, he really should be now starting to develop as a player. Obviously, they've got Bootsma there as well. They'll bring Doherty into that area. That's why I think that he's a kicking defender. And yep. I think that's why they can afford to release a Tui or a Walker higher up the ground to be able to have Doherty doing that kicking skill down that end of the ground. So I think there'll be a bit of change to that backline structure if they get those two boys through in the next 24 hours. Forward, well, wait. As a key forward at 31 years of age, he's been injury riddled. Can you rely on him?
No.
Kaz Bolt and Rowe, they're 24 and 26. They're not kids anymore, those two players. And this is the age at the start of next year. Are they good enough? They're not babies. They've got to be able to stand up and actually be able to do a job for the footy club. I think their mid-sized forwards lack a bit of class. Menzel's the one, you know, as a young player who really oozes class. But when I have a look at Dygan that they used in that area, Armfield, who I love for his defensive pressure, and Robinson, they just haven't quite got the class there to really have the finishing skills at times. Jeffrey Garland will do his job as the small forward. And obviously, again, do they play Yaron as the small forward or the defender? That needs to be sort of worked out. So that's it. I mean, they haven't got a lot of extras. Tommy Tamay is a young boy that's just developing up at the moment. And we'll have a look at their players leaving. Hampson, Laidler and Betts out the door. They delisted Joseph Davies, Mitchell, McCarthy. They've got some interesting ones with rookie upgrades. Ed Curnow, fourth and the best and fairest, you would think, has to get rookie upgraded. Tom Bell, Jared Kasia, they're guys that will be around the mark, you know, whether they keep them as rookies for another year or whether one of those two get an upgrade. It'll be interesting to sort of see. But really important that they can get Doherty and Everett into the footy club over the next period.
Okay, as we do, and we've done it 16 times before, we'll do it now and one more time today. We then put headlines around what you've just said, and you go into a brief synopsis form. Carlton, where are they at?
Well, where are they at? I think they'll try their best attempt at getting as high as what they can in this Judd era. I still look at Scotland 33, and this is again start of the next season. Scotland 33, Judd 30, Carrazzo 30, Waite 31, Simpson and Dygan 29. Coming towards an end, that crew of players. I think that they'll give a finals crack as much as what they possibly can while they've got that crew there. The 2014 draw mightn't be that kind to them. Obviously, with that top six finish now, that'll make it a little bit more difficult. And where are they? Well, it's a second year for Mickey Malthouse. There are big expectations around the decision to bring him in, so it's a pretty important year for them.
Issues and what they need, the Blues.
Well, their issues to me are, where are their young stars? And you talk about guys who are 23 and under. Every side in the competition, I have a look, and they've got two or three that you just have a look at that are Jets, the Jack Stephen type. I mean, St Kilda haven't had a great run, but you go along and watch them play, and you go, this kid's only 22. The upside in the next 4 years for him is enormous.
North seems to have a few.
Oh, absolutely.
Bulldogs seem to have a few.
You can go through nearly every club in the competition. I have a look at the Blues. Yaron just fits in. I mean, he's 23 at the start of next year. Inconsistent still at the moment. Menzel, I think, will be a nice player, but he hasn't done it yet. Graham, I think, can be a nice midfielder, but he's a baby still at the moment. I don't see it. And a few years ago, I had a heated discussion on radio with CEO Greg Swan just about him sort of saying, well, they're there, you just can't see them. We know more about our own club. Well,
so you still don't, a couple of years later.
I'm still sitting there 3 years later, and I can't see where those players, the real genuine stars, 23 and under, are at that football club. What do they need? They need a deeper midfield, which I think they're working on. They need a power forward, which they're not going to deliver in this period, so they've still got to keep looking for that player. And a third tall defender, which I think they're a chance of getting with Andreas Everett, who I think is worthwhile trying to pick him up.
Pursuing, okay. Yep. The losses against the gains for Carlton.
Well, Hampson, Laidler, Betts out with their delistings. I don't think they'll hurt them. I really don't, even as much as Eddie Betts is a really nice player. Thomas in. If they can get Doherty and Everett, I think it'll be a good result. I think that the switch over of what's going out and what comes in is a bonus because of the needs that the Carlton Football Club have obviously identified. So I reckon that's in pretty reasonable shape. As I said, rookie elevation will be interesting. I think Curnow has to go up in that position.
Okay, and the reason you do all this is to then answer this question. Do they make, hold or lose ground in 2014?
Look, if the draw was a little kinder, if they had a reasonable run with injury and if their best mids improve, there is definitely upside in this footy team. So could they make ground? Absolutely, comfortably.
Yeah.
Carlton could make ground.
Could make a prelim.
Well, they could make ground. I didn't say they'd make a prelim, but you know, they can make ground.
Yeah.
So remembering they only won 11 games last year.
Mm.
They shouldn't have been there.
Shouldn't have been there. So you're saying making ground on a ninth place finish, maybe?
Well, look, I'm saying that I think that they'll probably hold ground. They can make ground if all those things go right.
Yep.
Right. If they get through the draw all right, if they get a reasonable injury run, midfielders give
bigger 15, output. 18 games.
Correct. I expect that they'll hold ground, and when I say that, I'm sort of saying around 11 to 13 wins with a tough draw is about the mark that I sort of see them at. But
so more the same in some sense.
Yeah, about the same. But my biggest issue is they need to start finding young top-end talent because that other group of players, if they can't make major ground, that other group of players are on their way out. And I can't see the next generation. Yes, you know, Murphy and Gibbs and that sort of stuff. They've got, you know, time left in them.
Yep.
But where's this next wave coming through? We see a lot of other clubs with another wave coming through.
Hmm.
I don't see it at the Carlton Football Club at the moment.
Could be there, but you're still not being able to see it.
No. So I don't think it's there.
Right.
I don't think it's there. I mean, certainly not the star players. The star quality is not there on that list at the moment. So,
Well, I've heard you analyse 17 clubs now, Terry, and that one is not one of the absolutely glowing ones. There's a reality there that I think Carlton supporters will be a little bit concerned about.
Yeah, well, look, I still think that they could have a
good 2014.
Quite a reasonable year, but I'm just wondering where they're going to be in two and 3 years' time.
Yep. That's Terry Wallace's list analysis as the list manager of Carlton. Melbourne is still to come today and also to come on the other side of this break on Gillette Trade Radio, proudly brought to you by Gillette, the official partner of Movember, and supporting Mobros to trim, groom and keep it neat this Movember is Colin Sylvia, the new docker. He's up next.